Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hi, I'm Andy Murray, and you're listening to The Tennis Podcast.
It's Friday, and we already know who's going to be in the semi-finals. So what we're doing is we've just had our dinner. Leon Smith and me are sitting here with our coffees ahead of what is essentially a dead rubber, Leon, and we're just going to go from the coffees, I think, to the whiskies, aren't we?
Well, maybe, but you know, I've sat through a few dead rubbers in the Davis Cup chair, so I know what they're like, but there's a bit more at stake in these ones with the prize money that's on offer.
Yes, just a bit. Hello, Matt, how are you?
Good evening, I'm very well, thank you.
Very good, excellent. So the semi-final lineup is Novak Djokovic against Kevin Anderson. It is Roger Federer against Alexander Zverev. This afternoon we have had Zverev coming through, winning in straight sets. First set very tight against John Isner, who, I don't know, what do you think, Matt? What did you think of that match out there today? How did you feel that Zverev got on?
I thought the first set was pretty good from both players. It was kind of a classic Isner match in many ways. I always think of an Isner match as maybe if the journey isn't all that interesting, you do end up at quite a decent destination. You get good moments in Isner matches, and we had that at the end of the first set where he pulverised an inside-out forehand to set up a set point. Zverev fended it off and then grabbed the tiebreak, and then once that first set was over, Isner knew he was eliminated. Zverev just had to win the match to qualify, and the second set kind of faded and it was over fairly quickly. But
what do you think, Leon, of Zverev and the progress he's making? Because he sort of splits opinion with the people that I speak to, in as much as obviously he's doing incredibly well. He's winning big tournaments. He's top eight in the world, and yet he's only reached one Grand Slam quarterfinal.
Yeah, that's the obvious one to look at as the Grand Slam record. And it's why it's not real surprise where he brought in Ivan Lendl, obviously, into his coaching team to start adding that belief. You know, he really believes in Ivan Lendl. That's obvious. They've obviously known each other for a while. And I think, you know, what Ivan will bring is that instilling that belief that you can do this. You really can. If you stick to what you're doing, we develop some of your game and you execute it. And moreover, the conversations in the locker room or the evening before the matches, just talking through how you're feeling, Ivan knows how it feels. But when all said and done, Zverev is on an absolutely amazing trajectory. He just happens to be made that trajectory during such an incredible era of men's tennis. And, you know, he probably wouldn't have expected a few years ago that he would still have to be up against a peak form of Novak Djokovic, Roger Federer, you know, around the corner. Andy Murray's going to be back next year. We obviously had Wawrinka, who's going to come back as well, and it's such a tough moment for him. That way, Rafa, you know, on clay, how's he going to get past him? Rafa's still going to dominate on clay probably next year. So, how many years is going to take? No one knows, because it's going to go on, and it's not stopping anytime soon. It's going to go on with these 30 plus somethings that are the greatest of all time. And that's what Zverev's going to have to look at his game and start figuring out with Ivan now, but I said, how is my game going to start disrupting those four or five players?
I find that fascinating that it's not going to be like Nadal necessarily when he came on and just blitzed through a Grand Slam title. And there's this group, isn't there? It's Zverev is in it, but there's other young kids as well. But do you not feel that any of them then are in the near term, in the short term, are going to be able to break through that group because of what you've just described?
Well, we say breakthrough, we're obviously referring to winning slams.
Yes. Yeah?
And the issue is, it's not like there's one or two. That's the thing. It's and if the whole pack comes back in healthy next year, then he's going to get to quarterfinal stage and going to have to beat the likes of Rafa, Novak, Roger, Andy, Stan, and then Delpo. Delpo's back. He'll be back next year. These guys are so good, and they're so good mentally. They've been there. And what about Cilic? What about Anderson? You know, so there's a lot to break through. Rajanic, if he's back fit and healthy. The depth is so tough with the top four or five, and then when you say that, Delpo and everyone else, it's so difficult for someone like Zverev. Has he got the game? Yes, because he has proved it, because he's won Master Series titles.
And, is that proof, though?
It's evidence for him as a player, isn't it? That you go, can I beat?
It's different, isn't it?
It is different over best of five, and it is different when the stakes start going that much higher. I definitely agree with you on that one. However, you still need some evidence that whatever you have in your game can match up against the best. Something in it hurts the best, and he has wins against them in big moments in Master Series on different surfaces. So for me, I'd be thinking, okay, you got a chance, but how are we going to do this more consistently over best of five and continually from a quarter final through to the winning stage? So a lot to think about, but he's got a good team around him now. Physically, he's getting better every single year. He's banked a serious amount of work. He is a serious athlete that's been built by Jez Green. They've taken huge blocks of time each year over a number of years now to attribute to that physical development, and that will pay dividends. There's bits in his game that are going to have to get better, because there's a couple of things that aren't as reliable as what maybe he needs. So those are the things that Ivan will look at and go, okay, let's once this tournament's over, we got our pre-season, let's get to work on those things. That's when you'll really know about it.
You mentioned that's what Lendl will do. Now, in the previous press conference after the last match that Zverev played, he was asked, is Lendl a disciplinarian? Are the rules, is he strict with you? And what Zverev said was, if you're going to be strict with me, the rules and stuff, the relationship is not going to last very long. He understood that very quickly, meaning Ivan. I put that to Zverev in the press conference today because we talked about it on the tennis podcast the last couple of days. I was thinking, how does that work, that mentality work with Ivan Lendl? How is Lendl going to accept that mentality? And I asked him, were you joking? Because I couldn't honestly believe that he meant it. And he said no. And he laughed, but he said no. He said, I don't need to be put in a corner. I know what I want. And he was saying that when he talks about rules, etc., he says, I'm often late for things, but not on court things, not training. I'm late for the car to go to dinner or something like that. But he said, I really want it. He said, I'm very, very disciplined. I work hard. I like it because I know what I want, and I want to be the best. Any other attitude, I won't be. You've spent time with Lendl. You've spent time with him when he was with Andy. Is that how it worked with them, or was it Lendl says how you do it and Andy gets the hell on with it and any other way doesn't work?
Well, I think that's just it, isn't it, with people's perception of Ivan. And I was really lucky to be able to spend some time with him, you know, watching the practice sessions, you know, before matches, sitting just behind during matches, after matches, and just being around him in general. And he is actually a very warm-hearted individual. He becomes a good friend, someone that keeps in touch, someone that cares about people, obviously. It was evident how much he cared about Andy when they were working together, and even when they weren't working together. You can see there's a sense of loyalty there. There's a really good person there, genuinely. And as much as his profile as Ivan the player was this very disciplined, machine-like, yes, when they're on the court, there's hard work, but I don't see any of the top players you mentioned, Zverev, I don't see any of them not working hard. I don't see any of them. It's a given. So it's not like Ivan's going to come in there and say, right, let's start working hard. Zverev's already worked hard. He said his parents are fantastic people who understand how to work hard. He's a Jez Green around him who knows how to work hard. And the kid, above all, wants it and wants it badly. So it's not a motivation thing bringing Ivan in. He doesn't need that. What he needs, if you watch the session with Ivan, he's not saying a huge amount. It's just little pickups, reminders. Oh, did you see that one? Or how did that one feel? Or just every so often, just something. And as I say, the conversations that happen around the match environment, the nights before, a couple of, it's small little details, because he's already in the top eight. It's the smaller details that will give him the difference. And Ivan's got very much an analytical brain. You know, he's very good at picking up where you could maybe, with your own game, hurt an opponent. And that's what he'll be trying to give Zverev the edge on. But it's not about Ivan saying, be here at this time, these are the exercises we're doing, do do do. It's not like that. That's not how it plays. That's not what I saw.
And actually, those small elements are what ultimately helped Andy Murray make the difference. Obviously, Murray was a huge part of his ultimate destiny as well. But I just wonder how long it might take, in your view, given with Andy, if you look at it, it seemed instant both times. They got together, Andy reached the semi-finals of the Australian Open and nearly beat Novak Djokovic. Second time round, he won Queens, he won Wimbledon. What's the difference?
Well, the difference is that Andy had got so close on numerous occasions to picking up slams. He was there. Zverev's not. One quarter final is not what Andy had been doing at this time. So, and Zverev, younger, obviously. But as I said before, Andy had already had a track record of reaching numerous finals and was close and needed something else. And only Andy will know what it was that he got from Ivan in the end, but it worked. Zverev has still got to climb through more barriers than where Andy is, and that's where it will be his game. Like I said, his game obviously can hurt, but there will be other things they'll have to work on, some areas of the game, because clearly on the Grand Slams, over the best of five, it's not yet getting him over the line in some of those matches.
Has he potentially played the Lendl card too early, if you like?
It's a good question, but I'm hesitating. I don't think so, because I say he's had such success at Master Series, 500 Series. He's been so consistent, good wins. He's exciting. I mean, David was talking the way over here that, and he believes in himself. You know, he thinks he should be winning. Mm. Therefore, he's at a stage now where, you know, he can't work any harder, but can he work a bit smarter? And can someone give him? Sometimes it's an outward belief that people see, but inside, is it really? If you really dig in, and those moments get found out, obviously in the most stressful moments, when the expectation really falls upon you, which it is on Zverev now. Everyone's expecting the breakthrough. Everyone's expecting something to happen. That's when you need the extra support package that Ivan will bring. And only time will tell. And look, he's got everything set up. Now it'll be about his game. Can it make the break?
Because on that point of belief, from the outside, Zverev is the one of the ones who haven't broken through but are threatening to, that really shows that belief. Certainly in press conferences, he talks a good game. But maybe once he steps on the court, as you said, maybe just that inside is not quite there, and maybe that's where Lendl's going to help him.
Well, I think so. And look, Zverev is an unbelievable tennis player, an unbelievable talent. And in any other era, he might have already won a couple of things.
Yeah.
It's, as I say, it's so tough. He's so good. But the rest of the pack are so damn good.
Yeah.
It's going to take something amazingly special, not just from him, but other players.
Yeah. They've got to displace the three greatest players of all time.
And the rest. There's so many good players now. We are so lucky and fortunate to be going through this still. And long may it continue. Still, the pack just gets a bit bigger every year when the younger ones get a bit better. And then, like we say, Delpo came back on the scene. And then Kevin Anderson suddenly got a bunch of confidence. And he becomes unbelievably dangerous. So
is it... Are we very much in a late bloomer era? You know, we've seen Stan win slams when he gets to 30. Kevin Anderson's now knocking on the door. Cilic won his slam when he was in his mid-20s. Is it going to be maybe two, three, four more years before... For Zverev?
It could possibly be. Mm. It could possibly be because the other guys are so good. And now there's such good science and medicine support, information, the data they can now collect on their workload, the volume, the what they're doing on the court that will obviously lengthen the amount of time most players will be able to play for. And that's just makes it tougher for the younger guys. You'd think it will be longer. Because of it, the experience that the top guys have got, it's just knowing the decision making gets so good in the key moments that and their ability to play their best tennis at those key moments, it amazes you sometimes. You know, I wasn't a pro player, I wouldn't be able to hold the racket, never mind make a decision. I'd be so nervous. They believe in themselves and they've gone through it and they've also failed before, which then also helps. You know, Zverev will find himself still in the future. It's a big moment, whether it's a quarter final, you know, in a winning position, or a semi final, or a final, and you're still going to go through those moments. Look what Andy had to go through before he could do it. You know, so he's still got all that to come as well. There's going to be tough moments, but look, I just think he's one of great talent in the men's game, and we're very fortunate.
Talking of late bloomers. How good was Roger Federer last night? I mean, obviously he's been blooming for the last 20 years, but still, last night, you and I came out of the commentary box. We were just—it was like we were on a high, weren't we?
Yeah, I mean, he was superb to watch. And again, it's about making decisions. You know, he wasn't feeling himself in the match against Nishikori, so I'm not playing the next day. I'm gonna do something else because it doesn't matter. I'm not gonna forget how my forehand and backhand feel within 24 hours. Clearly. But I do need to get myself in a better headspace. I need to just get so whatever he did, I don't know what he did, but you know, it's just those little decisions. It seems small, but it's quite a brave decision. People go, "Oh my god, I didn't practice yesterday. My timing might be off." No. He knows himself. And then he goes out and he just picks up momentum. And you know what we watched last? It's brilliant to watch, isn't it? I mean, he was in control of everything. His footwork was very explosive. He hunted down his forehand more. We saw how his variety, not just his offensive game number one, but the way he can use his slice to put the ball low against Anderson, make it so awkward, even off some of Anderson's great serves, just being able to have the racket control just to chip it low short. It doesn't look like it's much look as a defensive shot, but he's meant it. I'm going to lure you in and give you awkward balls, and I enjoyed watching that, and I always enjoy that matchup where it's the big server, big hitter against the court craft. I think it's so much fun to watch.
And we're going to get that again tomorrow. So, semi-finals are coming up. What do we think, lads? We've got Federer against Zverev. That's the afternoon match.
That's right, yeah.
And what's the head-to-head between those two?
3-2 to Federer.
Yeah.
Zverev picked up a win in the Montreal final last year, and also in Halle 2016.
You didn't even look at your notes there, huh?
No,
that's just a fountain of knowledge.
It's all up there.
Yeah.
But they haven't played here. They haven't played this year, have they?
They did play in the Hopman Cup, I think,
right.
But not on the regular tour.
What do you think?
I think from what we saw from Federer, looks Zverev's in good form, but I think Federer, you know, has got over the blip at the start. Motivation is there. Hunger for sure, and he's playing some good ball, so I'm going to go Federer, but I think it'll be close.
And Federer can do a little bit to Zverev what he did to Anderson, make it low, to keep the ball low, use his variety, use his slice.
Yeah, and I think, you know, on the surface and the conditions here, you would think would suit Federer a bit more, because he's going to be able to, I think, both things, use the variety, but clearly be offensive, and when he starts coming forwards as well, it tests a bit of the agility of the taller player as well. A lot more low balls, of course, because when you get to the net and you make that volley, the ball is going to stay low. And I think he's going to be in a good place tomorrow, Federer.
He's been quite pally with Zverev, hasn't he? I know that they've had a chat when Zverev suffered, I think, one of his early Grand Slam losses, and Federer was quite supportive to him, put his arm around him, said, "Look, you know, don't worry about it, it's going to be okay." And we've seen obviously the Laver Cup scenes when he's given him coaching advice, being on the same team, etc. Can that be a factor when you end up having to play against each other? Either way, I mean, does it help a young player that he's comfortable in the presence of somebody like that, or is it inhibiting? Because, you know, this guy's suddenly kind of almost brother figure. I don't know. What do you think?
I think I think there's still a distance enough between them. You know, whilst you see those scenes where there is help during the Labour Cup, you know, it's just those moments. And Zverev doesn't appear to be someone that, well, maybe he does, again, if you dig under the surface, but he's got a lot of belief himself, and he's had two wins against Roger. I think this becomes just it's another tennis match. I think I wouldn't look too much into the backstory there. I think this just becomes another tennis match that both will be desperate to win. But I don't think it does, actually.
Federer, what do you think?
Yeah, Federer as well.
Right, I'll go Federer as well. What about the other one, Djokovic against Anderson?
Look, Anderson for sure can hurt people, but from what we've seen. And I'm sure we'll see it later on in the Djokovic-Cilic match. If Djokovic continues to return as he's returning, that suddenly negates Anderson's best weapon, which is his serve.
Why is his return so effective? What does he do with it that is such a nightmare for a big server?
Well, his anticipation is excellent. That's one thing. It's a range of things. One, anticipation. He's picking up as the match goes on the cues, the patterns, and also his homework beforehand of understanding tendencies, etc. Reactions very, very quick. His agility, his ability to move his body in that certain way, whether someone jams him up, he can make a little shift. He sees things quickly, and that range of movement that he has, the flexibility, allows him to get his body in position even when he's at full stretch. He's still able to have the range and also the core strength to handle the power that's coming in to his racket. And then, of course, it's the racket skills themselves. We talk a lot about the top four or five. They're able to defend better than the others. They do. They defend. And that's been well developed. Yes, there's some natural talent, but it's also been developed and honed from a very young age. The hand skills, as you touch the ball, what can you do as you have that moment of contact? They're able to have more feel on the ball, and they make more balls. And the one thing that Djokovic does so well is that he's not just getting it back. The amount of times he actually, against Isner, neutralised off the big serve, neutralised, not just get it back, which is your first job, get it back. He neutralises off the first serve, and that's why I think he's in such a driving state. Look, he's playing unbelievable.
Remember that first serve of the match?
First serve of the match against Isner. It was like 130 or something like that, and he just, boom, no problems.
That was in the corner.
And that's what he's capable of. And the thing is, he's playing great. He is playing great tennis. So whilst Anderson has got to do his job, he has got to try and get to breakers and then see what happens. And that will be that's his job. Hold serve. That's the bit you control. But I think, look, before you ask me, I'll say it now. Djokovic will win.
Djokovic, Federer final. I think we're all going for that.
Yeah.
So who's going to win it?
Djokovic.
Yeah, I think Djokovic has looked set. It's tough to call when you get to the final, but I would go Djokovic on form.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hello, Tennis Podcast listeners. David here. Now, you might know that I love a bit of cooking, and I think I'm quite good at it. But if I'm honest, even I get fed up trying to work out what to do every night. That's where Home Chef comes in. Being able to put together a delicious meal without the long prep and the cook times, well, that's pretty cool. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. They have over 30 options a week and serve a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. Now, for a limited time, Home Chef is offering Tennis Podcast listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life and, of course, free shipping on your very first box. Go to homechef.com/tennis. That's homechef.com/tennis for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard it right. Just finally, Leon, ATP Cup was announced yesterday. Davis Cup is changing. What do you make of it all? Where are we going to end up with this? Are we ever going to get to the dream scenario, as I see it, of a single team event that everybody gets behind and that we can all enjoy? Or are we going to have these effectively, I don't know whether you want to call them competing events, but it muddies the water, doesn't it? Novak Djokovic said we could end up with average team events that are unsustainable, and we're going to end up with quantity, not quality. What do you think?
I think there's been a lot of jostling for position, hasn't there? There's been, a lot of people trying to mark their own territory, and that's what happens when you've got a sport that's governed by different bodies for different things. There has been politics, there's been different investments, and people are trying to protect their own patch. And look, the one thing I would say, when you step back from it, it will settle at some point. But always in any industry, when people are playing their cards and trying to get the biggest investment, there's a race to get things done, and things start looking chaotic, which it has been, and it might be chaotic for a little while. But eventually, what I would say is the investments come back into tennis now. Look what's been invested into Laver Cup, look what's been invested into Davis Cup, and look what's been invested into ATP Cup. Is that good for the sport? There's going to be more sport to watch, players are getting paid more, and I firmly believe that team events in tennis are extremely important for fan engagement, new audiences, passion, and also for the players. The player to be in this sport every single week on your own, I can tell you, they have a lot of fun in team events. I saw, I'm not involved in Laver Cup, but spoke to Kyle afterwards, had a great time. I know the players have a great time when we run our Davis Cup weeks, not just the matches themselves, the weeks. It's so stressful in this combat sport, one-on-one, every single, to go out and be around your teammates, have that fun. Why not have more than one team event in the year? It has to be spread out well.
They've got to be good, haven't they? They've got to mean something. Leon, remember 2015. Just remember what you went through as a team together, what it must have meant to you. That has got to be sustained somehow, hasn't it?
It is, and it's a collective effort. It's one, you've got to find the right time in the year, because that's also not sustained. What we did was so special, and I'm so privileged to have gone through that, and no one will ever take away from our team that's what happened. We lived it and breathed it, we're there. But you saw already, to go again and to go again four times a year, 8 weeks out of schedule pretty much if you make final, best of five, changing surfaces, that's tough going. It's tough going. So I think something had to give, and of course the worry is you give too much, you lose it. Only time will tell that as well, but we're going to make sure we get behind it, because we want it to be a success. It's still got the history. Yes, it's a change of format, it's still got the history, and it's up to us to try and get the best possible team out and really get behind it and work with everyone. Eventually the bodies will work together and go, right, either bring it all together and have one amazing event, or if there are going to be more than one, put it in great times in the calendar, which increase the chance of getting the best players to play, get the fans involved in it. And I think that will happen. Year one, is it going to be a bit chaotic? Yeah. Year two, year three, year four, let's hope that there's a more coming together.
This time next year, it'll be almost here.
Yeah, another week in the calendar. And that's the thing. Look, the next year's date and date, you talk to anyone, whether it's that Cosmos Group, everyone, they'll tell you it's not ideal. Everyone knows it. I just hope, the players, year one, let's get behind it. Let's get as many of them to play as possible. And then I'm convinced it's not going to be like that in 2020. It'll be somewhere else, whether it's in September, whether it's in the summer, whether it's in April, it'll move.
How often do you watch that Davis Cup final video of 2015?
I have a screen in my hallway at home, and I just have it in loop. it's just one of those things, like in a shop, that's it, in a loop. Of course I don't, but quite a lot.
Well, as you said, nobody will ever be able to take that away from you. It was a magical time, wasn't it? And hopefully there are many more to come. Leon Smith, thank you very much for coming on the Tennis Podcast.
Thanks for having me. It's always fun.
It is indeed. Matt Wright, we'll be back tomorrow.
We will.
More. We'll be covering the semi-finals. We are the Tennis Podcast. We're brought to you in association with The Telegraph. We are executive produced by Melanie Bowes, SSS, and tennisballs.com. Our mascot is Charlie the Ferret, and we are sponsored by La Manga Club. We'll see you tomorrow.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.